God and Holy Spirit. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for life. We thank you for life in abundance. We thank you for giving us you, Lord, your protection, your love, your care. But we thank you for giving us your nature, Father God. And Father, it's in addressing your nature this morning that I wish to come before you, Father God, as a humble servant and ask, Father God, of you, through your Holy Spirit, to guide me and to guide us, Father God, in interrogating your word and just breaking your word, Father God Almighty, and just reclining and asking for your Holy Spirit to just bring us a revelation. I ask that the revelation is not just to the person hearing this word, Father God, but to myself speaking it as well. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to gather here. Thank you that you give us the strength to be here today. Thank you for this beautiful day, Father God. It's such a beautiful day outside. And thank you for your beautiful word. Well, good morning. Today is the 21st of April, 2018. And we are here to share the word and just reflect on aspects of Christ as we usually do. Thank you for those who are here and for those who are listening. Today's topic, the title of my topic today is Who Are We? You'll find that today's topic has got a lot of reflection on last week's message. And last week I spoke about serving, and more specifically the blessings that we get from it, 8 specific blessings that we get from serving. But sometimes it's difficult for us to understand why to serve and how to serve if we don't know who we are. And I'd like to just sort of attach to that message of last week with regards to serving by assisting us, and I want to assist myself as well, to identify who I am that will better position me to serve. I made mention last week that sometimes it is impossible for us to think that we are true representatives of Him, our Heavenly Father, because we feel unworthy or we feel we have too much sin. Although we have been promised of forgiveness, one of the main reasons why I said that was it was attributed to fear. It's attributed to fear that we doubt ourselves many a day. And and I made reference to the president of my country, Nelson Mandela, where I made mention of a speech that he's made. And I suppose this week also allows me just to fix that. The speech that he made and the reference that the bit that I quoted, it was in his inaugural speech in 1994 when he became president, but it is actually an extract from a poem, a poem by Marion Williamson. And Marion Williamson, she writes spiritually motivated books and poems. And just as a reference, it's not a long poem. I just want to read it because I think it's got reference with regards to today's message. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is in our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. You're playing small. You're playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are meant to shine as children of God. We are meant to shine. We are born to manifest the glory of God within us. And that's the speech that I made reference to. And I think very adequate. Because within this poem, there's reference to There's reference to who we are, which is obviously today's message. So, when I did some research for the message this morning, I actually found there to be 42 scriptures just in the New Testament where God affirms us in who we are. There's 42 scriptures affirming us in who we are, what we are. And if we were to know those scriptures and we were to take those scriptures to heart, I am sure so many more of us will become stronger representatives of that which Christ has placed in us, allowing us to serve in a much more accurate manner, because those promises are deep and profound. But for today, I don't want to belabor the 42 points. Maybe I should make this available, and so these scriptures are referenced on the website with regards to today's message. But today I wanted to focus on five, but I'm going to focus on six. I'm going to focus on six. And as you notice that my anchor scripture for today is Ephesians 2 verse 10. And it reads as follows. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So we have been created in the workmanship of Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So he planned before the time, before we were even born, before we were conceived, God had prepared beforehand so that we can walk in it. Meaning that which we have been created for has been set up so that we can just walk in it to be representatives of him, because he created us in his own image. In the beginning he said, let us make men in our image and our likeness, meaning that we will bear the DNA, we will bear the look, we will bear the aroma, we will bear the fragrance, we will bear the essence of God. And in the scripture, it also makes reference to us. I think it's in the New Testament where Paul writes, and he says, we are little gods, meaning that we ought to do as God did, although we are not at the level of God, but because we are in him and him in us, we ought to do as he did. And as Christ Jesus did, as Christ Jesus came to earth to show us. So, making reference, having Ephesians 2:10 as the anchor scripture, the first scripture that I want to make reference to with regards to us being affirmed as God's sons, I want to make reference to John 1 verse 12. But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children. So, John 1 verse 12 says, I am a child of God. Now, being a child has got many attributes. We all know, those of us who are parents and those who are not, because all of us who are not parents are children, and being children tells us quite a lot about our parents. As a child, the child carries the DNA of the parents. So, if we are children of God, he's already said that in the beginning when he said he's going to create us in his image and his likeness. So we'll look like him, we'll function like him, and we'll act like him. So being a child of someone means that you carry that person's DNA. Carrying the DNA means that there's going to be a lot of the attributes that you have as a child to that of the parent. So you're going to look like the parent, you're going to function in some ways like the parent as well. So it means the child carries the attributes of his parents. The child is also taught by his or her parents to carry the same values as that of the teachings. So we are taught by Christ through his scripture. We are taught in how to conduct ourselves as Christians, how to interact as Christians, how to serve as Christians, how to pray as Christians, how to worship as Christians, how to function within the kingdom of God. So we then also have been taught the teachings of our Father. So we thus have the same mannerisms as our Father. And the other thing that a child also has, a child And it's something that we don't cognitively think about, but a child always carries the culture of his parents. A child always carries the culture is that thing. If you were to be taken and be taken apart and be ripped apart in who you are and what you've been taught, the thing that remains last, if all your education has been removed from you, if all the things that you've learned in life has been removed from you, the one thing that remains is your culture, because it's the environment in which you grew up. It's the environment in which you have been shown how to do things. So those things, you don't even think about it, but it is something that has been entrenched inside of you because it's part of your culture. It's how your people do things. It's how the people around you do things, how they function. So the culture of the kingdom is also being taught to us through the Bible, through the good news. So we should have the culture of our Heavenly Father. My second point that I want to make, I make reference to John 15, verse 1 and 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. So the point I want to make here is that I am the branch of the true vine and a conduit of Christ's life. So a branch has also got various attributes. A branch is a true replica of its origin. A branch looks, feels like, smells like, and produces like its origin, which is the tree or the vine. In this case, the reference here is made to the vine. So the branch of the vine reproduces the very same fruit that the vine is intended for. The vine produces grapes, a cluster, a gathering of little small fruits in circular form. It produces clusters of this. So as the branch, we ought to produce exactly the intention of the vine. The vine carries the DNA. The vine carries the flavor. The vine is the one that is cultivated. The vine is the thing that is held in high value. Again, making reference to my country in South Africa, we've got a very large wine-producing region in the Cape, in the Western Cape, and in the Boerland. It's referred to the Boerland, the wine-producing region. And many of those vines that is there that produces the beautiful wines and the grapes and the table grapes that we have has its origins in Europe, because we've been, as a country, we've been conquered by Europe many, many moons ago. But because of the culture that the Europeans had that came to South Africa, they brought along with them, because they knew they produce wine, they wanted to reproduce wine, they brought with them a vine. So there's many of the wine estates that you'll visit, they'll tell you with regards to the origins of their farms. The farms are hundreds of years old, 300 years old, and in some cases more, but more or less within the region of 400 to 350 years old. You'll find that most of the wine estates in South Africa can date back their origins. And you'll find that they'll be able to tell you where the original vine comes from, with regards to the fruit and the wine that they are producing. And that's the thing that was kept and held in high esteem and high value. And that's the thing that reproduces and allows the wine estates to reproduce a good cultivar each and every year. So the vine carries the entire DNA, the flavor and fragrance. The branch carries that of the vine. The third point that I want to make reference to with regards to who we are makes a reference to John 15, verse 15. I no longer call you slaves, because the slave does not understand what his master is doing. But I called you friends, because I have revealed to you everything I heard from my Father. Now, all of us have friends. Nobody lives a life like an island. All of us has friends. We have friends, and friends are friends because we have something in common. I'm Jason's friend because we share the same faith. We follow the same sport teams. We happen to have a similar background, perhaps being educated in the same school or in the same region. We come from the same city or the same country. And that makes us friends because now we've got common interests. There's things that we can share, things that we can speak about, and things that excite us. Friends are also people who aspire to the same values. Because I'm friends with Sandeep because Sandeep aspires to become a good Christian. I also want to become a good Christian. I'm friends with Sandeep because he is a strong leader, and I also want to become a strong leader. So I become friends with Sandeep because I want to gain something from him, because him being a strong leader would definitely benefit my life, and maybe he identifies with me. Thinking that, okay, he might be a strong leader and he's spiritually strong, but maybe I'm a more vocal worshiper and he wants to become more vocal in his worship. So now he identifies with me in that regard. So so we become friends on that basis. Friends are also excited by similar things. So you'll find that as you grow and friendship develops, we find that we understand things in a similar way. We look at things in a similar way. We share the same sense of humor. And so the same type of things excite us. And friends know one another very well and intimately. My best friend will know, it doesn't necessarily have to be my best friend, but of my better friends will know who I'm married to. They'll know my children. If you are really my friend, you'll know my children, my children's names. And if I'm really your friend, I will know you and your children's names. I will know what type of work you do. I will know what frustrates you. I will know what excites you. So we'll know each other intimately. Friends also happen to care for each other's objectives. So as a friend, I'm going to care for what you want to achieve in life. I'm going to pray with and for you. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to ask the Lord for blessing over your life. You might be a sports person, so whenever there's opportunity for me to come and watch you play, I'll come and watch you play. I'll support you from the stands and I'll cheer you on in what you are doing. And you'll do the same for me. Maybe I'm not a sports person. Maybe I enjoy going to theaters and I enjoy the arts, and then maybe sometimes you'll accompany me because I'll invite you, and you'll think maybe you don't like that so much, but because I'm your friend, you're going to come with me. You're going to come enjoy the stuff and share the stuff that I value and hold dear in my life. You're going to come and share that with me. So you're going to come with me to a theater or to an arts display or a gallery. And friends are there for one another. They are there for each other. When let's say for instance I drive and I'm on my way to wherever, and I get a flat wheel, I don't have a spare wheel. And man, I don't have insurance cover to come and help me along next to the road. Maybe I know that Jason has got a car and Jason works in this area. I can call him and he'll come out and he'll come and get my flat and take it to a place where it can be repaired, and so he can bring it back to me so I can be mobile again. Because friends care for one another. In situations of loss where one of your friends, perhaps very into dogs, loves their pets and whatever, and the pet goes missing. You're going to be there for your friend. When your friend calls you or perhaps posts something online, you're going to see this. You're going to call them and find out, are they okay? Can you help search for the dog or the cat that went missing? Because friends care for one another. So we look after each other's interests and we do things for each other. Now, Jesus says we are his friends. Jesus says we are his friends. And Jesus looks out for us. Jesus cares for the things that we care about. He says in his word that we can mention the desires of our hearts and ask in his name. And obviously, if those desires are aligned with the principles and the kingdom of God, if those desires are pure and the wishes that we have is for a good intent, he says he'll grant us that. He's there for us when we need him in the moment of need, in the hour of need. When we call upon him, he's always there. When we say, Lord, I'm feeling down and low. Lord, I'm feeling depressed. Father God Almighty, through your spirit, encourage me. He sends someone along the way. He's always there for us. Sometimes we doubt him, but then he sends someone along the way. And sometimes we are too blind to see it because we forget that he shows up in any way or form. So a stranger might come and encourage us, and we think, oh man, that stranger did so good to me. In essence, we ought to say, thank you, God, because I called upon you and you sent someone, you sent one of yours to come and encourage me. He's always there for us. Now, Jesus is delivering on his bit in being a friend. Are we delivering? Are we delivering in our bit as being his friend, in being a valued friend, in being esteemed so high that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, calls us his friends? So are we doing our bit? What is our contribution to this relationship? I said earlier, friends care for one another. A relationship with your friends is mutually beneficial. A friend relationship is not a parasitic relationship where one person gains and the other not. It is mutually beneficial. So what are we giving to this relationship? Are we contributing as Jesus is contributing? Maybe we are not. And maybe we can't contribute as he contributes, but do we aspire? Do we even attempt? Do we even, the bits that is within reach, do we even do that? That is who we are. We are friends of Jesus. The fourth point I'd like to make, and because this is one of the things that speaks to the point that I made in the beginning, making reference to last week's message, is that sometimes we feel unworthy, and we are filled with too much sin. That's why we can't be accurate representatives of him. I want to make reference to Romans 3 verse 24. But they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So regardless of how we feel, regardless if we feel we are unworthy, Christ says we are redeemed. His actions on the cross says we are redeemed. Us saying that we believe in the cross and saying, Lord, we accept you as our Savior, says that we are of the redeemed. It says that we are next to him on the other side of the cross, not in front of the cross. We are not in front of the cross anymore. We are behind the cross. We are with the resurrected Christ. We are not with the Christ before he died. And he was beautiful before he died because he taught and he displayed the beautiful attributes that we need to have. But we are now with him after resurrection. He rose from the dead to redeem us. So that's where we are. We are qualified to sit at the table, at the heavenly table, because of Christ. Then something that I think we might also find difficulty in dealing with, and sometimes words gets us to a place where we have difficulty dealing with our identity in Christ, is that my fifth point that I want to make is that it makes reference to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. It says, to the church of God that is in Corinth, but modern day Corinth, that is in Hong Kong, that is all over the world, you know. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and that is us, and called to be saints, again, that is us. With all those in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and our Lord, meaning that we are called to be saints. We are called to be saints. What is a saint? I know the Catholic Church has got an issue with this, and I don't want to be derogatory, but people who have done extremely well and they've walked a very close walk with Christ, and they've displayed attributes of being able to heal people, or manifesting the various gifts of the Spirit. More often than not, many years after they have lived, then they are elevated to sainthood within the Catholic Church. But it is not a title that is to be awarded based on performance. This is something Christ says all of us ought to be. We ought to be saints because we represent him, and because we are not doing what we do within the kingdom of God through our own strength. We're doing it with the strength of Christ Jesus, the one who redeemed us. We are doing it through the very same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead. That's why we are called to be saints, because we ought to administer that very same Spirit. And that Spirit is always authentic. It's never watered down. It's never a lesser quality. It's always the same. Although it is dispensed from the same source through us, it doesn't mean it gets diluted because it comes through us. It still comes from the source. So we are called to be saints. And then the last scripture, which is my anchor scripture of Ephesians 2 verse 10, that we are the workmanship created to produce good works, for we are His workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so that we may do them. That is who we are. As I've said, there's 42 scriptures in the New Testament making reference to who we are. Christ affirming us. We are being affirmed not just through Christ, but also through the revelation of the apostles in who we are in Christ. The revelation that they received in who they are. And who they are is who we are in that revelation, because it's still from the same source. It is God's intention for us to realize that we are the fruit of Him. We have been made in His image and in His likeness. We have been made to look and think like Him. Maybe not to the full extent exactly as God, but at least to aspire, to strive for. The reason why we go on various courses in the work that we do, because we want to be better. We aspire to be better because we want to get promoted. So we can have more influence within the company, within the business. We want to have more influence because we want to have greater impact in the outcome of the business. We want to have greater impact in the outcome of the business because we want to display an attribute of that we can. How about we strive with that same tenacity that we strive for our professional careers and for the same tenacity that we strive for our families? How about we strive in the same way for our Christian walk, for our walk with Christ, and identifying who we are? And we don't even have to look for it. Christ already told us, and He's teaching us, and He's taught us, but continuously teaching us who we are in Him. We just need to know more of Him than we know more of ourselves. So to identify and to know more of who we are, we need to know who God is, and we need to know what His Spirit represents. So I want to encourage all of us, I want to encourage myself, in order for us to serve better, in order for us to say yes more often, in order for us to be available to do the good works for which we have been created, as expressed in Ephesians 2:10. Let us go on a journey to discover more of God. And yes, we are. But let us be more hungry. Let us be more diligent. Let us be more aspirational with regards to our walk with Christ, so that we know more of Him, and in knowing more of Him, we'll know more of us. That is who we are. We are the image of God, the creation of Him. We are created to do like Him and express His kingdom by doing as we are led by His Spirit. Thank you. Amen. We indeed are children of God. And Father, thank you that we can call ourselves your children, not because we chose to, not because we would like to, Father God, but because you say so. You say that we are your children in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we are your friends because you declared us your friends. Thank you that we have received your promise. Thank you that we aspire to that promise now. And thank you, Father God, that you will strengthen us, Father God, in our aspiration in becoming closer and closer and in relationship and more intimate with you to understand more of you so that we can understand more of ourselves, Father God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that this word will bring an enlightenment, Father God, to us that we are able to understand more of ourselves. And Father God, this morning, I just want to bring a special mention this morning, Father God, to a friend of ours, Father God, who is in a moment and a time of sorrow. He has lost his father. I'm talking about Ernie, Father God. And I just like to ask upon all of us to just, you know, share a thought for Ernie. And this evening, they're going to have the service for his late father. And the request that Ernie has got as a true servant and understanding who he is as a son of God, a beautiful son of God, is that we should pray for the salvation of his family. And for this evening to be an opportunity for the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ Jesus to find and manifest within the hearts of his family and for God to receive all the glory. So Father God, we just want to share a special thought to Ernie, Father God, and his family there where they are. We ask, Father God, that the prepared place, the place that they are preparing for the service this evening, Father God, that your spirit be alive with and well within that, Father God, that your spirit be alive and well within the representatives of you, Father God, within that room. And we pray, Father God Almighty, as Ernie has requested, Father, that it might be a place, Father God, that it would be a place for the salvation of his family. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that as they plan to put to rest the remains of his father, Lord God Almighty, that your spirit will rise up within the family in Jesus' mighty name. I'd like for us to focus on the people in our community with cancer. If we can pray for those. Let us also think of those who's got illness, but also pray for their salvation. We also think of members of our community with infirmities, and we speak for the wellness and command their bodies to receive God's healing for which Christ has died for us and for them. Let's also pray for members of our community looking for jobs. And I'll mention them: Leanne Chow, Calvin Hao, Ernie Andres, Iliam Wong, I hope I pronounced it right, Rachel Chia, and Tammy Mann. Let's pray for our mission focus. North Korea, for open doors for ministry. And again, I just want to emphasize the fact that there's a lot of discussion going on around North Korea with regards to them going into discussions with the Western world, with the USA. They've already been in discussions with China. So as we pray for North Korea, let's just thank the Lord as well for what has already been done and what is busy happening. And for more and more opportunities to open, but specifically also for ministry. And also we think about our missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, the persecuted churches, and specifically in the Middle East. Let's pray for the weekend gatherings, and more specifically this morning for Alpha, as Alpha starts today. Let's pray for covering of the Lord, and let's pray for the Holy Spirit to just take captive the minds of those who have committed to Alpha. Because as you know, that from time to time, sometimes we commit to something, then we want to get distracted, and then we get discouraged, and then we don't want to go anymore. Let's pray for the people to push through and to follow through. And for those, even those who have withdrawn, for them to get a revelation that it is essential for them to be today at Alpha. And we pray for the team, we pray for the small groups, and we pray just for a strong motivational factor of the Holy Spirit to be amongst everybody. And then we also think about EG Retreat and GIC, Women's Discipleship, Prison Outreach, the Drug Rehab Outreach, Sunday Service, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, Spin Services and Activities, and all other meetings.
Thank you.
We also pray for house churches, Fortress, House to House, Marwan, Southside and Westside, who are gathering today. Thank you very much for attending, and you can enjoy quiet time in prayer and blessings for the day.